Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us together tonight to hear your word. Thank you for your word. Your word reveals yourself unto us. We believe your word, and we believe you. We believe that Jesus is your son, and that he has laid down his life for us so that we may live. I pray that the words I speak tonight will be true and will be glorifying unto you. Prepare our hearts to take communion, Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I studied for tonight's message, I read Paul's epistle to the Galatians over and over. And I have come to a new appreciation for the epistle. Tonight we are mainly going to be studying Galatians 6:14. But to get started, I would like to talk about Paul's purpose in writing the epistle. Galatians is an epistle. The word epistle means the same thing as a letter. So Galatians is a letter written by Paul to the churches of Galatia. Paul had received word that deceivers, also called Judaizers, had come and preached that the Galatians had to be circumcised and keep the law. So the Galatians were keeping the law. Paul wrote this epistle to counter the attack of these Judaizers. Please turn to Galatians 1, 6, and 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In those few short sentences, Paul describes being under the law as being removed from grace, believing a false gospel, and being troubled. Paul rebuked the Galatians for not obeying the truth, and he called them foolish. Would you please turn to Galatians 3:1? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? It is evident that keeping the law is being disobedient, denying the cross of Christ, and Paul even likens it to witchcraft. Please turn to Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and by faith alone. There are no other conditions attached to it. So when the Judaizers preached that they had to keep the law, they were perverting the gospel of Christ. They were adding things to the gospel. Please turn to Galatians 1:8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul says these false deceivers, these deceivers who preached a false gospel, were accursed. The word accursed means under a curse, ill-fated, abominable, not just good for nothing, condemned and ruinous. The Judaizers were not just doing the Galatians no good thing, they were doing damage to their faith. Would you please turn to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross to redeem us from the penalty of our sins. Everyone is sinful because of Adam's sin. Everyone except Jesus Christ, who was born perfect. Because of our sin, we will all die. So we are all in need of Christ's redemption. If we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, we put our faith in him and are forgiven of our sins. And in God's eyes, we are made perfect. The cross of Christ has cleansed us and set us free. We are redeemed. It is important to understand that salvation is without any other stipulation or condition. We don't have to try and please God by our works. Not only would our works not please God, God has provided a better way. He wants us to trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. It doesn't depend on my ability to do anything. If it did, I would still be unable to meet that condition and would need another Redeemer. But our Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the only Savior. There is no other. There is salvation in none other. There is only one gospel message. So Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians because Judaizers had taught them that they had to keep the law, and he wanted to make sure that they understood the truth. The Judaizers didn't even care about the Galatians. They didn't believe the gospel, and they weren't concerned that they weren't preaching it. They wanted to look good in the eyes of the Jews, the non-believing Jews. They were only interested in getting some glory out of putting the Galatians under the law. Paul contrasts that glory with what he glories in. Please turn to Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. First, I want to look at the words, but God forbid that I should glory. The words God forbid mean the same thing as may it never be. So it is a commandment that we not glory in anything other than the cross of Christ. We believers know that the cross of Christ is what saves us. It has given us life who were dead. We owed a debt that we could never repay. We were destined to an eternity of suffering, but instead are guaranteed an eternity in paradise. You might say, the Lord has exchanged for us a worst-case scenario eternity for a best-case scenario eternity. He paid the entire price for this exchange, and it came at a huge cost to him. The gift that Jesus Christ has given us is infinitely bigger than anything else we could ever be given. We have so much to glory in. It is surprising to think that we would even have time to glory in anything else. Please turn to Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We are still capable of sin, and we live in a world that is full of deceit. So we are warned not to false glory or vain glory. Vain glorying is a sin. It is a form of idolatry. It is a sin that reveals how closely we are walking with Jesus Christ. If we find that we are glorying in things other than the cross, it indicates that we are being ignorant of His magnificent blessing. Will you please turn to 1 John 2:15 through 17? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have been enlightened to the knowledge of the truth. We have tasted it. We are in anticipation of an eternity of joy beyond anything we can imagine. For us to put this aside and glory in things that are dead is a terrible insult to God. It is a poor witness also. We who are in anticipation of the Lord's glory ought to go through this life as if nothing else mattered. If we glory in the things of the Lord is going to be glorified, and people are going to want to know what it is that makes us different. That is a good witness. But if we find that we are not glorying in the cross of Christ, the way to handle that sin is the same thing, is the same way we always handle sin. We go to the Lord on our knees and confess it to Him. We draw closer to Him by immersing ourselves in the Scripture. Through much prayer and continuing in fellowship with His people, and we will be restored. Paul says not to glory in anything except the cross of Christ. And if we actually love Christ with all our hearts, that is what we will glory in. Now I want to examine the words, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word save might be confusing, but if you substitute accept, it is clearer, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we say the cross of Jesus Christ, we're talking about His death on the cross. We're not talking about the physical cross, which has no power. We're talking about the death of Christ on the cross. Why is the death of Christ powerful? Christ is the Son of God. He is God in human form. Though he was born of a sinner, his seed was perfect, being put into his mother by the Holy Ghost. Christ never sinned in his entire life. He never had a sinful thought. He never gave in to a temptation. He never committed a selfish act. Christ was a perfect man who was not worthy of death. But because he was perfect, he was the ideal substitute for us. As Dr. Bridges said in our spring conference, Christ lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. He was our substitute. The high point of Christ's ministry was his atoning death. The very thing that his enemies thought was his end was in fact his crowning glory. He had proven his triumph over them. By simply believing in him, we are made perfect in God's sight. Our justification, or our salvation, is free without works. Our sanctification is also without works. The only thing about us that is glorious is the cross of Christ. Our only glory is in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else about us is shameful. But the cross is what cleanses us. It is what makes us acceptable to the Father. It is what ultimately saves us from sin. So if it is our glory, it ought to be what we glory in the most. And the exact opposite ought to be true about everything else. We ought to have no glory in our accomplishments, no matter what they may be. Everything about us, except the cross, is shameful. I remember the illustration that was given to us last Sunday evening. The world's wealthiest man was at a business conference. As he went from meeting hall to meeting hall, he would slip into the conversation that he was holding $5 in his pocket. Finally, somebody took him aside and told him he was embarrassing himself. He had so much that $5 is nothing. And he's making himself look bad bragging about it. That particular man is easily recognized as a wealthy man. He doesn't need anyone. He doesn't need to tell anyone he is rich. The same should be true about us. We should be easily recognized as Christians. And bragging about anything else ought to embarrass us. We ought to get no glory from our shame. In fact, we ought to be ashamed of our shame. The cross of Christ is the most important event in all history. It is the answer to our sins. It is the only cure to this disease that is killing all of mankind, sin. It is the only thing worth glorying in. It is the only thing that can save us from our sins. Works cannot. Keeping the law cannot. Because we are sinful, we can never be good enough for God unless we are cleansed in the blood of Christ. But if we are cleansed in the blood of Christ, we are forgiven and are bound for heaven. The last part of the verse are the words, "By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Before a Christian receives salvation, he is one with the world. He is in his sin and can see nothing wrong with the world. The world, through the deception of sin, has a firm grasp on him. He cannot get loose from its grip. He would not want to get loose from its grip either. But when God works in him, he does what the sinner could not do, and that work brings him to salvation. Now that he is a Christian, the world is crucified unto him. The Lord cut the bonds that held him captive. He is set free. God did it by his grace to an undeserving sinner. The world becomes crucified unto us when we are saved. It no longer has power over us. We can still be tempted to sin, but it can no longer draw us away from God. It is dead unto us. The same pattern that can be seen in Christ's crucifixion can be seen in our crucifixion from the world, though ours is the mirror image of his. Christ was crucified for sins he did not commit. We are crucified from the world for perfection, though we were not perfect. Christ did not deserve to be crucified. He was perfect. We didn't deserve to be crucified from the world, being sinners. Christ did not deserve to be brought down. We did not deserve to be brought up. Christ, by suffering the death on the cross, did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He's made us whole again. Christ lives in us, and though we are still in the flesh, we live in faith in Jesus Christ. So our affections are not set on the world. Our affections are set on things above. Not only is the world crucified unto us, but we are crucified unto the world. The world cannot benefit from us once we become Christians. Our relationship with evil has been severed. We have become the world's shame. The fact that we have left the world and no longer belong to it is something that brings it shame. Our becoming Christian makes a statement about the world. The statement is, the world is of no value. We went on to something better. The world loses credibility when people become Christian, as it well should. That is because it has no credibility. The world is dead and not capable of anything good. It can only produce evil, never goodness. But we are crucified unto this evil world. We are no longer one with it. We still live in the world and are capable of sin, but we have the cleansing of Christ. The cleansing of Christ can make the vilest sinner clean. Paul said that he glories only in the cross of Jesus Christ. This is an incredible statement. This statement means that he has forsaken everything else. He has walked away from everything that he accomplished in this life. He is so well focused on Christ that he is not encumbered in the life of this world. Nearly all his thoughts are on Christ. Everything he did was in one way or another for the glory of Christ. Every contact he had with the outside world was a witnessing experience. That is a pretty awesome thing to be able to say, yet not impossible. That is because all things are possible with Christ. If it were in our hands to do this, it would be impossible. But all things are possible with Christ. Our salvation is independent of the law or any other work. It is only dependent on Christ. Once we become saved, we don't go back under the law for righteousness. Our relationship with Christ naturally produces fruit. Will you please turn to Galatians 5, 22 and 23? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The unsaved people of the world think that they are good enough for God to accept them. They think that there is enough goodness in them that it outweighs the badness and that God will accept them. Or they think when the time comes, they will have a talk with God and work something out. This is one of the dangers of not knowing the scriptures. It makes you ignorant. Guilty sinners have only one chance to get good with God. The only thing that will make a sinner right with God is faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person passes up on this great salvation, then their future is sealed. They will spend all eternity apart from God. God's standards are incredibly high. So high that only Christ could meet them. No man could. God can in no way lower His standards. God is just, and because of that, He requires justice. So our sin had to be punished, and only Christ could bear our sins. Christ bore the sins of anyone that believes on Him. But for those that do not believe on Him, they are not forgiven. They will have to give God an answer for their sin. And they have no answer for their sin. But believers will be considered perfect because Christ's perfection is imputed on us. Even though we are still capable of sin, and will sin until the very last, we are forgiven. And God sees us as perfect. I called tonight's message, "The Cross is Our Only Glory." We have seen that there is nothing about ourselves that makes us acceptable to God. Everything about us is an offense to God. There is nothing about ourselves that we could possibly glory in. If we gloried about ourselves, we would be lying. But Christ has made us acceptable to God by His atoning death, which has cleansed us from all sin. And not only are we cleansed from our sins, the perfection of Christ is imputed upon us. So the only thing that is glorious about us is the cross, and therefore the only thing we have to glory in is the cross. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. Thank you that it is not reliant on us, but that it is a gift from you. If it were not from you, none of us would come to you. We are totally dependent on you for our salvation. Lord, Help us to have the desire to more fully commit unto you and to put the wants of this temporary world out of the way. And help us to be honestly able to say that we glory in the cross of Christ. We pray again, Lord, that you will prepare our hearts to take the communion. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.